Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 25th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin. the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late, because you don't want to hear. If you hear the other trumpets that's coming, whether you hear them or not, there are other trumpets coming, and you need to hear this one, because it's the warning before the storm. So please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, if you don't get me on my cell phone, you got a smartphone, text me and tell me you're calling, because I made a mistake of giving it out online to some kind of survey, and I'm getting all kinds of automated calls. So, folks, please, in Yeshua's name, I ask to please text me. I'll be able to get to you that much quicker. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archive, contact information, all this on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting our time. Cool. On another note, let's thank our listener base. That's worldwide in places like Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Hamas, the Russian Federation, or just simply Russia, Ottawa, Canada, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Athens, Greece, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Houston, Texas, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Wichita, Kansas, you're back on top for the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Got a great program for you. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there in ears in which to hear and understand this very important truth, Father. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, there are so many Christians either ignore Bible prophecy or, they ignore Bible prophecy. They ignore what the Bible says. There's a day that's coming in a few days that normally my family just ignores it totally. Some of you can guess what that day is, but tonight's guest is William Shrew. He's a follower of Yeshua. He's a husband, he's a father, he's an author, and a blogger. His writings reflect a lifelong interest in biblical prophecy and biblical history. That's important. You must know. History helps us better understand the Bible. Anyway, it does. William is the author of 2 books on Bible prophecy and 3 novels. He resides in the desert of southern Arizona with Winnie and their 5 children. That's a real blessing. Okay, welcome now, William Strews. Are you there with me, William?
Good evening, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Man, I'm glad to have you back on. You're one of the people that when you get on, my spirit lifts up. I enjoy the sound of your voice because, you know, you always got good, you know, you always got good things for the people. So, you know, it's a blessing when you show up.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share my adventures in biblical history and Bible prophecy. It's, as you know, I'm passionate about it, and I'm just a normal guy, and I don't know, you stumbled onto one of my books one time, and the rest is history, as they say. We've had a good relationship over the years.
Yeah, amen. And that freaks me out, too, the years. You know, I lost a friend this last year, about a year and a half ago, and I was reflecting on how long I know him, and you say past years, and I went, I knew this guy 50 years. And then it made me start thinking about, well, wait a minute. Who else have I known for 50 years? You know what I mean? And I started thinking things of in blocks of 10 and 15 and 20. And I went, wow, you know, and it was the past 60 thing, I think. But no big deal. I'm not worried about age. I'm here as a father, as long as the father wants to use me. And speaking of uses, well, you know, I was going to talk about something different tonight, but then you sent this thing out about Halloween resurrecting the Day of the Dead. And I try to find somebody to talk about that with me every year. And when I seen your report, I said, this nails it. Back to you.
Yeah, I've long had an interest in the history behind Halloween. And, you know, I've read several books on it and studied the Bible, the biblical history. And, you know, it may surprise some people that, you know, the December 25th, the day of Christmas, is in the Bible. Easter, the day of Easter, is nowhere named specifically dated in the Bible, but Halloween is dated in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I had justified Halloween. If you read my article, you know what we're going to get into. But the fact is, the day of Halloween is a somber, actually horrifying day in biblical history, and it's specifically dated, and it's a reminder to mankind that, like I said in my blog article, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Yeah, amen. And just my 3 cents on it, and then I really want you to take us into it, because it's really interesting because you got the history thing on it. I hadn't been out of the world very long, and, you know, I hadn't, you know, when I first came out, I hadn't turned away from Christmas or Easter or any of those things. You know, I hadn't really, I had read the Bible, and I had already started questioning, you know, where some of those things were at, like, you know, December 25th and stuff, but it wasn't a real big, you know, thing with me. And,
right.
But Halloween was the first of the holidays that I ran away from, and that was because this woman knew somebody that knew a Wichita Police Department detective, and the Wichita Police Department did I don't know if they still do it, but they did a seminar every year around Halloween to inform the police officers about what really goes on Halloween. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she got a copy of the booklet that they use. You know, they pass out and get everybody booklets so they can go back and read and everything. And I was just flabbergasted at what all I saw. You know, it talked about, you know, it talked about sacrifices and people disappearing and all kinds of things. And, you know, that really exploded it for me to where I started looking into Halloween differently. And I just couldn't justify it much after that. Back to you.
Yeah, and I had a little bit of a different path. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home, and my mom and father, in our house it was verboten. I mean, it was we were taught you stay away from all appearances of evil growing up, and so we were just kind of had that ingrained in us. But it wasn't until I was older that I wanted to know why. I mean, the history behind it, besides the death and the darkness and the occult side of it, I mean, I wanted to know where this came from and what it was about. And I stumbled around on several interesting books on it. The bottom line, let's give the bottom line here, and then we'll work our way backwards in history. But the bottom line is Halloween, the Day of the Dead, All Saints Eve, and it comes by different names in different cultures. It's celebrated around October 31st, and some cultures celebrated in November 1st. I mean, yeah, November 1st or 2nd, and very few in November 17th. And all these cultures have a common history in that it was a great destruction of mankind. In the Bible, this destruction of mankind was the flood of Noah, and which happened in the second month and the 17th day. And keep in mind here that in biblical times, before Yahweh changed the calendar at the Exodus, Jewish tradition and some biblical tradition has it that the calendar on the earth was created on Tishri, the seventh month, and that was the beginning of the calendar. And that's reflected also in the Jubilee cycles and the Sabbath cycles. So there's some evidence of that. In any case, the second month, 17th day of the month would have been October, November time frame when the flood took place. And every year since then, it was so shocked the consciousness of mankind that history for thousands of years, and this is a tradition that's thousands and thousands of years old. I mean, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Aborigines, the Europeans, all over the world have a tradition of this great destruction of mankind. They all locate it within the same time frame. And think how powerful that is in their consciousness, that these traditions are eerily similar through thousands of years. And it describes the destruction of mankind. In the Bible, it gives us the most details of any historical account, and it tells us that because of mankind's sin, Yahweh was forced to destroy us before there was no righteous men and women left on the earth. Of course, only Noah and his eight of them all together, and his wife and two sons and daughters survived. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Evil had prevailed all over the earth. It was incredible. I think everybody should go back and do more than just the superficial study of how evil it was, you know, before the flood. But I don't know that we aren't coming up. We're not seeing a lot of that right now. Back to you.
No, people aren't really too paying attention to it. In fact, the church seems to be glorifying in Halloween. They may change the name a little bit to try to Christianize it a bit, just like they've done with some of the other biblical, biblical holidays. They've renamed them, and you know, just so you can mix in some of the paganism with them without. They compromise the faith once delivered, in my opinion. So they mix Halloween, they call it something else, fall harvest festivals or whatever. They celebrate it on the same day, or they call it, you know, I saw one Christian sign on the front of a church, big banner says, "Come celebrate trunk or treat with us." And I had no idea what the trunk was. There's a trunk, a scary-looking trunk on the front of the sign, and treat. I mean, anyway, they come up with all these crazy things to justify it, but
Let me throw something in there. Just because my heart feels like I really want to say it. Folks, listen to me. You can't, number one, the only person that can make a day holy and right is the Father in that sense. But we're supposed to honor Him. On a day like this, the best possible thing that you can do is, of course, educate about it. But I educate going up to Halloween. On that day, our family, our church, just doesn't recognize it. It's just another day. When you recognize it and change the name and do that, you know, that's just a way of being politically correct. You're feeding into this whole system of what's going on right now. And folks, if you want to look around you, everything that the left and the opposite side is doing, if it's sin, they're glorifying it. If it's sin, they want it. Whether it's lying, all of the things are there. The glorification of sin is so predominant in the world right now, it's thick. You can't put on that. You just can't do this. Please, please, I implore you, don't recognize this day. And listen to what William's going to tell you. And, folks, afterwards, make sure that you read his document on it because it is really eye-opening. Back to you, Will. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, no. I appreciate it. It tells us in the scripture that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There's going to be that mentality that just before Yeshua returns that was present in Noah's day. I mean, we're walking right up to the point where Yahweh must judge the earth because, and He's a righteous God. He must set things right because He does love mankind. If He does not set things right, mankind will destroy themselves. I mean, that's just because our sin nature, I mean, we have walk down a path and we get farther, every generation gets a little bit farther away from the truth and a little bit farther away from the truth. And if merciful and loving God that will destroy mankind before there is no chance for anyone to survive. And to, you know, what does it say, that few be that find it? I mean, there's just, if he didn't shorten the time, I mean, there'd be hardly any faith on this earth when he returns. So I just think we need to really pay attention. Either we are so immersed in this pollution of this world or the sin of this world that we don't see it, or that's my opinion, really, is we're to the point where we all are so immersed in our culture, and even whether it's willing or unwilling, it's just so much around us and so prevalent that we really don't understand how far the society has departed from the truth of God, from his ways and his righteousness.
I wholeheartedly agree. You know, it's like here in the West, you know, we have, I guess the best way to say it, we've got too much stuff. There is so much around us everywhere we look. If you really, you would, if you was an, let's say you were an apostle and you walked them through Walmart, per se, especially at this time of the year, or Christmas, either one, same time of year almost, and you just walked them through Walmart at all of the things, even excluding the Halloween decorations and the Christmas decorations, and they saw all the things, and you explained to them what those things were, I think they'd want to get, they would almost want to run out of the place screaming back to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the way I see it. You know, you and I and people around us, sometimes we catch it and it strikes us as how sinful the culture is around us, and how far we even let ourselves have fallen into the morass of sin and the stuff around us. But I mean, like you're saying, I mean, look at the checkout thing. We look at those magazines and we glance at them as we walk by. Some people pick them up and look through them. If you look at that, you'd say, where is the honor? Where is the righteousness? Where is the morality in our culture? It's gone. I mean, it's just, but I mean, we're both saying here, it's so prevalent, it's almost hard to identify anymore.
Right. That's the point. And it's slow boiling the Christian.
Right.
You know, that's what, you know, people wonder, you know, they say to me, you know, I wonder why we can't see those miracles and things here. Well, they are seeing huge miracles in Muslim countries or places where the people are oppressed, and they're seeing visions of Yeshua and all kinds of things, and they're being led to Messiah. In China, the same thing, man. China is seeing a huge amount of Christianity, and the more that they suppress them, like now they're trying to change it to the churches and the state churches to the max, that Christianity is on a rise. In fact, they said, left alone, I think it was, what was the number? I think I'll say 10 years, that it would have the most Christians in any other place in the world, but yet it's suppressed and limited. But here in America, America has been allowed to indulge in everything. And to me, and we can especially see that to me in all these things since President Trump came in, you see all these things these people are screaming about. I mean, come on, what do you think about that? They have a parade, a protest about morality in a sense, but yet they have drag queens out there, or they have women out there being nude and screaming their heads off. That just reminds me of demonic things. Back to you.
I think the good will be called evil and evil will be called good. I mean, he prophesied that. I mean, what is the quote that the generation, like one generation accepts it, the next generation glorifies it? It's just, you know, it's just a natural, not natural, but I mean, it's our sin nature, and it's just the way humans go. And that's the reason the reset takes every few generations, or we have these terrible calamities, and it shakes us up and allows us to, you know, focus on what's important. I think, you know, part of the reason I think we can look back in history, especially biblical history, and see why Yahweh wanted to confuse the languages and separated mankind in Babel, because he didn't want them to have access of one tongue and all this centralized, so to speak, sin. And I think in our generation we have that in spades with the internet and technology allows us, you know, 50 years ago, a kid showed his friend a dirty picture in a magazine. That didn't go much farther than two or three people. Today, you can show 10,000 people with a click of a mouse. I mean,
right.
I mean, the sin is our way. It's so corrupting. I mean, you cannot escape it. I'm sorry, unless you go live in the wilderness of Alaska or someplace, you see it walking
right.
down the street. You see it in your store. You, for goodness sakes, every time you flip on your computer, you'll see an advertisement at the bottom of every single article, even if the sometimes Christian websites have suggestive attention-grabbing,
right.
you know. Advertisements at the bottom. So, you know, I just think we've become so immersed in it. I'd say Maranatha is all I can say, honestly. Even so, come, Yeshua, because, I mean, it's becoming, it's,
right.
I don't like to be doom and gloom, you know what I mean? I mean, God created a wonderful place that we have, and he's blessed us, especially in this nation, with so many blessings and so many wonderful things. I just think we've taken it for granted, and, you know, we better get busy doing God's will, because, I mean, things are falling apart, as far as I can see.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me say this. I got time just before break, probably. I was in a store the other day with him, and to me, this is a ray of hope, but it's also a sadness. And the woman that was checking me out, and she said to me, hey, your Sam's membership card expires, you know, in November. And I said, oh, my wife will take care of it. And this was a very, very young girl. You know, she looked like maybe she's 16, 17. She had to be ordered that to work there. But the point is she looked real sad all of a sudden. And I said, and I added to it, I said, well, you know, ask me how my lights stay on. The same way, my wife takes care of everything. I click on a switch. And she says, my generation is so messed up. She said, that's the way that it should be. Women and men, she says, you know, in my generation, she said, and she's almost to tears. She says that the culture is trying to force women into the role of a man and wanting me to work and for my boyfriend, to stay home and not work and take care of the house and do all the girl things. He says, we both work because we need money, but my generation is so messed up. But my point is that she did recognize it, but it's not her fault. It's the generation before her. Think about that, folks, while we go to break. William, tell them where your website is, and we'll come back and talk.
Okay, my website is the13thenumeration.com, blog 13, if you want to read my blog articles. Or you can just search William Struess blog or the 13th Enumeration. Any of those will direct you to my blog.
Okay, folks, and if you go to prophecyhour.com and you look on the pastor's page, I already sent a link to his website over there so you can check it out and so you can read this dynamite article. And I promise, folks, I'm going to get it to let him tell us about it when we get back. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we'll get back with William Struess in a few minutes. I just need to talk just a real short about the Mission Church, of course. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, but let me give you this thing up. Of 307 counties in the United States, a worker earning a federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour can only afford a one bedroom rental in only 12 counties. You hear that? Out of 3,007 counties in the United States, a worker earning $7.25 an hour can afford a one bedroom rental in only 12 counties. Now, that means the rest of them, they can't afford anything. In San Francisco, where the median house price is over $1.5 million for a house, a single mother earning the minimum wage would have to work 120 hours per week just to meet her basic needs. Outside of high-cost regions, nearly two-thirds of households lack savings to cover a $500 shock, such as a car repair or health expense. For these families, one bad turn can result in what? Homelessness. And that's the problem. The belief that all homeless do not want to work, or drug addicts or grunts, is just simply crazy. So we help the homeless and poor. We help people that are, we help a lot of people that are, yeah, there's some of them, a few percent are grunts or have that, those kind of problems that are involved in the world. But the largest percentage is just people that haven't been able to find substantial work, or they're waiting on disability. And boy, believe me, there's a lot of people out there that get checks for disability. But how, think about this. Can you rent you a place to live and eat and do all those things on $700 and some a month if you get SSI disability because you can't work? Think about that. So you have to go elsewhere for it. Clothing, food, first aid, so on and so forth. And these are the things that the other agencies don't do. They don't give out, they give out clothing, limited supply. We put clothing in, let anybody take what they need. Blankets, coats. Right now we're out of blankets and coats. So clothing, yes, we give clothing. But over-the-counter medications, we give those out. We get them from the Dollar Tree, a dollar a serving, so to speak, you know, cough medicine, things like that. They can't get them. They don't have the money for it. They can go to the emergency room, maybe, if they don't have health care. But the emergency room gives them a prescription. Guess what? No way to get it. Okay. Bibles. People can't even afford to buy a Bible. Imagine that. You know, we can't keep King James Version Bibles. We can't keep Bibles, period. That's what we give away. And we don't have any right now. Well, I've got about two on the shelf that just came the other day. But believe me, they'll be gone. We need Bibles. We need all these things because we're helping the homeless and poor. And they're not all drug addicts and drunks and those kind of things. But those are the people, the sinners that you need to help anyway, isn't it? We're in one of the very worst parts of town. You know, Messiah's Branch, I mean, people got this funny idea that Messiah's Branch is some big, gigantic, huge building. Look, we're a small oasis in the middle of a destitute part of town. We're basically, for lack of a better word, a mom and pop type ministry. We are a church, but that's what we are. We're small. We're like a home church with the building. And a lot of people came out of the church and are in home churches. In fact, this week, this Thanksgiving, we are getting some, we had some volunteers that already volunteered that are going to help us out on Thanksgiving and do some turkeys. Mom says she doesn't have enough turkeys or the rest of things, and we really do need your help. We also got some bills that need to be caught up before then, mission bills. And so pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. The homeless and poor, what do they need? They need what you need. Guess what? They're human beings. They need what you need. We minister to a people in a part of town most people do not even want to drive through. But we're there, and we're helping, and the people appreciate it. And so pray about it, folks. All donations, no matter what size, help. And that's a fact. You wouldn't believe the times that somebody sent me $20 or $30 and it saved the day. The Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. So pray about a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free. And Messiah's Branch has to pay for that airtime every month. I don't even have the whole bill paid for this month yet. You can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order, and or you can call and give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if it's for Thanksgiving, please mark it for Thanksgiving. If it's for radio, mark it for radio. Otherwise, it goes into the general fund, and we just put it wherever it's needed the very most at. So now we're back with a great program that you really need to listen to and share, especially the paperwork behind it, or I guess the digital work behind it nowadays, the article. We're back with William Struess, and we're talking about Halloween. Are you there with me, William?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, I'm here.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. And, you know, so take us, the people deeper into this, if you wish.
Yeah. Yeah, let me just read some quotes from that I posted in my blog. It's just in a little bit of interesting history, and it, you know, gives somebody a little bit deeper understanding of the history involved here. It is with respect to this first November year that the early Egyptian calendar was first intercalated at the end of every 5 or 6 years. Hence, the festival of the true beginning of the year was observed in Egypt at intervals of this duration as early as the time of the dynasties 1 and 2. At the time of dynasties 7, the celebration of New Year festival took the form of lighting of lamps for the dead or the last day of the old year and the first day of the new. As Dr. Frazier points out, this proves that the New Year's festival at this time was ancient festival of the dead, the modern All Souls or All Saints Day of 1st to 2nd November. The custom, he remarks, was observed throughout the whole of Egypt and is referred to by Herodotus in his book 2, 62 paragraph, as prevailing in the 5th century B.C. All Saints Day, the 1st November, Frazier continues, the shops and streets are filled with candles, which people buy in order to kindle them in the evening on the graves of their relations. For all the dead come to visit their homes on that night, the eve of All Souls, and they need lights to show them the way. This just gives you an idea, a little bit of the history behind the ancient festival of the dead, or what we now call Halloween. And as Dr. Frazier points out, and what I'm quoting here, this goes all the way back to the first and second dynasties. In other words, the very beginning of Egyptian history, there's this acknowledgement of this first November dating of the All Saints Day or the Day of the Dead. And what these quotes go on to show you that it's, there's an alternative dating for this that associates this day with the 17th day of the first month of in Egypt, and then other cultures just date it as the 17th day of the seventh month, like in the Bible. And all of those point to the fact that it was the this Egyptian festivals, the Aztecs, all these different people associate this day with the flood. And it was this great destruction of mankind that really, really has stuck with mankind in their traditions, in lighting candles and honoring the dead, or remembering the dead, rather. And today we've turned it into just a big party. I mean, if you're going to celebrate Halloween and you want to do it from a biblical point of view, if you could do such a thing, the best thing to do would be sackcloth and ashes and have a day of fasting and repentance and prayer. Because it represents the one day when Yahweh almost completely destroyed mankind from off the face of the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, I guess I'm looking back at it, you know, because, you know, when I was young, Halloween was a cool thing. You know, I get to dress up and all that, you know, and I didn't think much about monsters and all that. I just thought it was cool stuff, you know.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was loads of fun. And I don't, you know, while we always heard people talk about razor blades and apples and all those things, I never actually saw any of that manifested, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it was generally a day of great joy. But then, you know, now you look at it and you look at, you know, the imitations, you know, people are dressing up as the dead. And they're dressing up as demons, and they want to be, oh, I can't wait to be a devil. Well, you really know what that means. You know what I'm saying? It's just the depth that people don't get. And that's a perfect example of what you were talking about earlier, of how we've been just, you know, kind of slowly been taken in until, oh, it don't mean nothing. But isn't it like this? It's not what I think about it. Oh, I just, and you'll see that with people. Even you tell them about Christmas, and they say, well, that's not what it means to me. Well, it isn't about what it means to you as much. It's what it means to the Father, isn't it not, back to you?
Yeah, if you're a Christian, absolutely. If you're secular, I can understand that's not what it means to me, and that's perfectly valid as a secular person. I mean, I don't agree with it. But as a Christian, that excuse, when we repented and by faith believed in Yeshua to cover our sins, from that point forward, we are obligated to be a light, not a darkness. We are obligated to live our lives as a pattern reflected in Yeshua's life. And, I mean, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, they made a point to say we're not supposed to associate with the fruits of darkness, with the traditions. kind that promote evil, revelry, and darkness, and all these things that Halloween epitomizes. I mean, yeah, the thing is, I think it's Satan is so tricky because he gets us sucked in with our kids, okay? I mean, come on. I mean, the kids dressing up, and even if you're a Christian, you dress your kids up. You don't dress them up as demons and stuff. You dress them up as princesses and princes and, you know, cartoon characters or something like that. And, you know, if you look at it just from a secular point of view, oh, it's cute, and the kids just love it, and they have a fun time, okay? But that's how we get sucked in, because then we justify that, okay, it's just fun, it's innocent, but what happens is our Christian faith then legitimizes something that was truly horrifying and awful. And that's, we lend our credibility by sending our kids out there in these innocent costumes or by having these church parties that as a substitute for us. We legitimize the celebration of something that was every bit as horrifying and evil as the worst we see today testified in the costumes and the parties and the witchcraft and the child sacrifice. Every bit is horrifying. Yeah. And that's what was going on when Yahweh had to destroy this earth. So it's not a joke. It's not a trick and a treat. It's horrifying and horrible. And if we really, I think if we really grasp the depth of how terrible this day was and how heartbreaking it must have been for Yahweh to have to destroy millions or however many thousands, I don't know how many people were alive during the flood, but all but 8 souls were saved. And, I mean, think about that, Pastor Dan, how horrible that is. I mean, that just should sadden us.
Yeah.
It should horrify us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the one thing that really worked for me with this, you know, a lot of people, this shows you, people don't look deep enough, and that's why I can always tell a researcher, and that's what you are, like I am, you know, about how deep they look, because a lot of people stop when, they don't go as far back as biblical times with these, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, to see the depth of it, but even if you don't go back to biblical times, you can see that part of all this was started because, number one, is we can lay it at the feet of the Catholic Church, just like December 25th and Sunday worship. They tried to Christianize bad days in order so that it would be easier to bring the population, the secular or pagan or heathen population, into being saved by not making them change their days, but by simply changing the meaning of their days, making something fun out of it, making something, I don't even going to say holy, because the only thing that can set something apart is the Father, but they seem to want to do that and think that they have the legitimate right to. But it's just, you know, and that's wickedness. You can't change the history. Back to you.
No, you can't change the history, Pastor Dan. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, which I don't know that they deserve, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and they did it with good motives. The end doesn't justify the means. You can't mix paganism and God stuff, because in the end, and we have 2,000 years to prove this, in the end, what gets thrown out? The good stuff. We keep the bad. I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? How many people today, when they celebrate something that they believe is Christianized, what's the emphasis anymore? I mean, the world sees only the trick and the treat. They see the presents that are given. Christ has been shoved out of it. I mean, even if you had the best of motives to start with it, every generation, they lose a little bit of the goodness, a little bit of the truth of that, and pretty soon we're 2,000 years later, and people don't even have a clue what it started out as.
Right, absolutely. In fact, I say this all the time, you know. You know, we talk about, you know, when we talk about light has no business with darkness, what business does it have together? It doesn't. But let's go with this. If you take two people, one of them's a good person, and let's talk about, let's say children, because that's what we're talking about, children. Let's take two 12-year-olds, and most of the time, not always, but most of the time, if you put a 12-year-old that is totally secular or non-biblical, and you put a 12-year-old that has been raised in a good Christian home or whatever, you know what, has morals and values in them, and you put them together for 2 or 3 months and see whose habit, who picks up what. It is usually the good person really does pick up some of the bad habits, whether it's language, actions, maybe telling a story or what. I don't know why that easily overpowers, but that's been what we normally see, and that's bad. On the other hand, you know, the Christ that's left with it, they say, well, that my Jesus Christ, it's not like that at all. About what you're saying, you don't have to. Their Christ is a false Christ, is it not? Back to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Human nature is it's hard to stand, and for the righteous standard, we want to compromise, and every time we compromise, we throw a little bit out of the good and add a little bit of the bad in there. I mean, you can't serve two masters, and eventually, you know, there's a saying in financial world where the bad money always pushes out the good money. You know, the counterfeits, if they keep printing it good enough, it always pushes out the good money. We saw that, you know, every culture does that. I mean, when they start clipping coins, pretty soon it debases the currency, and then they have to go to from gold, they go to silver, from silver to tin, and, you know, I mean, to paper, and then, you know, you're left with nothing that of any true holding value, intrinsic value. So I just think that works. It's just human nature and how it works. How about I read a couple more quotes here for your listeners?
Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll gladly listen.
Yeah. We'll go back here to a little bit of Egyptian history. Confirming the connection between the various forms of the narrative, Halliburton, that's the great historian Halliburton, observes that the celebration of the Festival of Dead by the Australian Aborigines was held in November, when the constellation of the Pleiades is most distinct and was specifically worshipped as the giver of rain. He says again that the month of November was formerly called in Persia the month of the Angel of Death. In the Egyptian 19th dynasty form of tradition, this angel of death appears as Hathor. As Sir Ernest Bunge, another great Egyptian horse historian, he shows, was originally Het Heru, the house of Horus, one special part of the great watery mass of heaven. And it was therefore a special part of this waters above the firmament of Genesis 1:9, and probably therefore the deluge floodgates of heaven referred to. The latter should be more clearly refined as a finely spread restraining influence or natural law or attenuated lattice work upholding the waters above the firmament. This is a quote. This sufficiently accounts for the 17th of the month of Hathor being celebrated as a day of the Festival of Dead in Alexandrian calendar period. For it is this narrative of Genesis that the Noetian deluge is given as the beginning of the 17th day of the second month of the calendar of Genesis. As to the association between Hathor and the ancient November constellation of Pleiades, the modern popular name, the Seven Sisters of the latter constellation, has its counterpart in ancient Egypt as the Seven Hathors. The 19th dynasty narrative of the destruction of mankind states that Ra ordered in the midst of the night to pour out the waters of the vessels, and the fields were entirely covered with water, and there came the goddess Hathor in the morning, and she found that the fields covered with water, and she was pleased with it, and she drank to her satisfaction, and she went away satisfied because she saw no men. So what we're seeing here is we have thousands-year-old traditions from the Aborigines, the Aztecs of Mexico, of these Egyptians that testify to this great destruction of mankind by water. And it happens either on the 1st of November, typically, or 31st of October, or alternative dating of the 17th of November. So you can't say anything is conclusive or absolutely positively, but there's a very reasonable case can be made that all these traditions point to the flood, and that we see the evidence of that in the amazing congruency of these traditions. As Halloween, the Day of the Dead, and All Saints Day, they light candles, they remember the dead, these souls are coming back to life. I mean, it's just a tradition of the Noah's flood. It's a very sobering day, and definitely not a day that should be taken lightly.
Yeah, I didn't, before I read this, I didn't make the connection at all. But wow, you know, after reading it, I really did. And, you know, that in itself, people are always looking for proof of the flood, you know, being false or not, or that's just a fairy tale. But to me, that's overwhelming proof. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's to me, I kind of think of irony of it, that, you know, how secular people won't do Christmas, they won't do Easter, they won't do any of the biblical holidays because they're somehow associated with the Bible, but they glory in Halloween. Yet, it's the one day clearly identified in the Bible which represents a biblical event. So, I mean, there's a little bit of hypocrisy, unintentional maybe, but a little bit of hypocrisy there for secular folks that are celebrating Halloween. They're celebrating a biblical holy day, not holy, I wouldn't say in that sense, but a biblical righteous wrath day of God. And they're actually providing, carrying on the traditions, really, of biblical history by their celebration of Halloween. And they're proving, once again, how accurate the biblical account was.
Yeah, amen. I think when all this talk about the dead, it reminds me to one of my favorite praise and worship songs that talks about, deliver me, it says, deliver me from the dead. And the people that are celebrating this, I mean, especially in secularism, I mean, you know, it's like they're the walking dead, so to speak. They're spiritually dead and they don't know it. And that just breaks my heart, and my heart cries for them. But, you know, it's hard enough to try to, you know, to try to keep in check my own family, you know what I'm saying? And that's where it starts, with so many pulls towards the world for them. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for them to stand up and be righteous.
Yeah, and exactly. That's one of the, I'm totally with you there. I mean, I see the fight in my own life, my own family, holding back this tide of darkness and evil. It's almost overwhelming. Without the grace of God through Yeshua, I mean, I don't see how it's possible. And you're talking about us walking through asleep or half dead. I end my article with this quote from Romans 13. It just fits here perfectly. And I'm going to quote it real quick. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, not in the chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. So isn't that a summary of what really is going on with most of Halloween today? I mean, it's this celebration of darkness and this zombie-like state of sleep that Christians and the secular world has walked ourselves into, and it's God wants us to walk out of that darkness and put on the armor of light. I just think we're so immersed in the darkness that we are.
Your heart's in the right place about it, and I feel a kinship with you because that's the way that I feel, and that, you know, that's why these articles like this are so overwhelmingly great. You know, I mean, you know, you're well researched, and you know, you've got the spirit. Otherwise, this wouldn't have came out right. William, I'm afraid our time's over with. I want you to give the website and everything, but I did miss you. I mean, it's been a couple of months. I know you were busy, but I still missed you, Redder. I wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, well, likewise, Pastor Dan. I missed it. It was our harvest season here in Arizona. We're big gardeners, and we sell at the farmers market. So, I mean, we've been 24/7 there nearly, and I'm sorry, but I just couldn't swing it very easily.
That's all right. It let me know that, you know, I missed him. I must care about him. But, hey, we are in that harvest season coming up, I think, and it's a different harvest. Anyway, give your website. We've got to go, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. My website, once again, is 13thenumeration.com/blog if you want to read my blog, or just type in any search engine, William Struth blog or the 13th enumeration. It's kind of a unique idea out there, and you'll find me.
Amen. Well, all right. You be blessed, brother. We'll talk again. Thanks for being
Pastor
on.
Dan. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. Well, folks, William Struth, go over and check out that. And, you know, Halloween, ignore it. Don't turn on your porch light. Just ignore what's going on. Okay, folks. Again, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. People don't realize, you know, people say, oh, I don't have enough money to donate. $10 is a help. If everybody that was, even a small percentage of people was listening, 10 people donate $10, that's $100. Or if you can, you know, a larger donation. We've gotten, our biggest donation was from another country. Somebody sent us $25,000 a couple of years ago from another country. So pray about it. We really do need your help. We need it now. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after what? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Don't let anyone tell you different. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember that. You can't meet all your buddies that are from other religions. Don't. You understand you're supposed to be a witness to them. Anyway, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is really praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would please shine upon them, and be gracious to them, Father. Give them a chance. Give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.